kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Everyone, praise God. It's good to see the saints coming into the room. And I know some of you are coming in from the US and in Australia as well. And what a privilege, what a joy to be able to get together and just come into the Lord's presence. Let us just commit this time before Him. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you that you make it possible. And may our hearts be open to receive the seed of your word. Father, we are living in times now where the world is perplexed. It's lost. And everyone is doing that which is right in their own sight and mind. But Lord, you have drawn us back. You have brought us into your fold, and we are your sheep. Lord, I pray that you will pour your spirit afresh and new upon us. Father, we are open to further baptisms, empowerments of your spirit in these last days. And so, Lord, prepare our hearts for this. May we have that expectancy, that faith in our hearts to receive now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've got a title here today, and we're calling this, Do Not Be Wise in Your Own Eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And I want to base this from Proverbs Chapter 3, we all know that chapter very well, but I want us to look first at verse 7 of Proverbs 3 and verse 7 that says, Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we're told here we're not to be wise in our own eyes. And this is something that God has to work by His Spirit so that we begin to discern and understand man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Now, we know that the Lord uses everything, and very often He uses still at times our worldly wisdom to teach and show us that His mind thinks differently and He sees differently. And we're going to look today how we can really begin to break through in this, because God's wisdom is absolutely essential for our faith, for our belief in the promises of God's word, and to be able to walk by faith. You see, you cannot really walk by faith if you are still applying the world's wisdom or the human wisdom, the human mind, the intellect. And of course, this is why God has to do such a work that He is in changing our mind and our thinking. And of course, there is nothing finer than the Word of God itself to work that deliverance, that change in our mind and thinking, because this helps us then to begin to understand God's ways, God's wisdom. And of course, wisdom and knowledge often go hand in hand, because this is how we apply this wisdom. One could say that as ministers and preachers of the word, we need the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God and the Word in which to apply the Word. We sadly hear their ministers, teachers, who major on doctrines or a certain doctrine. For example, we have a doctrine where once saved, always saved. And you will find when you listen to that type of teaching, it will constantly come up in every sermon. It's being pushed. It's something that, is almost being forced upon you. Now, they are indications of, and it's moving very much into heresy. These are heretics. But a heretic is one who doesn't apply wisdom, knowledge, understanding as God wants us to understand the Word. We've all at times misapplied the Word of God in not applying God's wisdom. And of course, God's wisdom says that when we share the Word, we share it in the love and grace and mercy of God. We don't bash people over the head with the Word or our doctrines. And people who do that simply reveal that they are not understanding the wisdom of God to apply all of this. You know, it's a little bit like driving a car. A car is a blessing because it gets us from A to B, but a car is also a machine that can be deadly and can create a lot of havoc and accidents and deaths. And so we need to apply wisdom, understanding, learning how to drive and to drive safely. And of course, we have to trust the Lord for the blood of Jesus over our journey. But are you getting the point that I'm trying to labour here? And so this is what it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, you think you have wisdom. You think that that is right, but you won't really know unless God shows you. And there's a huge difference from what we think is right to when God shows us what is right. And we very often have to wait for God's guidance. How often have we taught about waiting before the Lord or waiting in prayer and intercession? And a lot of that waiting is so that we get the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, you see. And wish to God more Christians would do this. But they don't always do it because they don't have the prayer life that they should have. Because that helps to apply all what God is doing and saying and revealing. You know, this is why the Word of God shows us that it's life for some and death for others. But all of us who have life today in Jesus Christ, we have it because God worked through saints to apply wisdom so that we can understand the ways and the mind of God. And I know this one takes a time. However, here we've got it says here in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So it's telling us not to believe in what you see and hear. because we are bombarded every day with the world's wisdom. We're bombarded with lies, deceit, because Satan is the god of this world. And the point is, do we react or act in faith what we hear? Because those who are in faith will seek God and will commit everything to God, what they hear. For the reason is because the world lies in deceit and lies. And sadly, so much in the world today, and many in the world, are gullible. They just believe so much what they hear and what they're told. But God will not have that to be of us. And it tells us not to be wise in the wisdom of the world, which I've been talking about. For example, it's not wisdom, the word God's wisdom, where the old saying is, well, you know, you better save for a rainy day. You know, we've always got to keep something aside just in case. That's the world's wisdom. Now, it can sound very plausible, but it's not the wisdom that God wants us to live by. Or you hear your parents said this to you, and my parents said, you know, it's the same. Well, you better take that job. You better take some, you know, better train for something like a plumber or an electrician. Something like that, because it's safe and it pays well and so on. Well, it may not be what God wants of your son or daughter to do. He may have something quite different. But you're applying that world's wisdom and thinking. Or it's better to marry that person because they've got good prospects and so on. And many marriages, of course, are based on that principle. Again, it's the world's wisdom. Or it's best to buy that certain brand of item because it's good, it's reliable, and it's possibly valuable, and it will go up in price or whatever it would be, instead of seeking God as to what he wants you to buy. He will show you. Does this all sound familiar? It's stuff that we hear every day. The family says it, and we say it at times. But it ain't the wisdom of God. Now, that verse gives us a clue why we still fall victim to this. Because it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So it's saying, do not be wise in your own eyes. You need the fear of the Lord because it's evil. That's what he's calling it. Because it gets in the way of what God wants to say to you and I, to understand his ways. It's a hindrance. I am convinced our Lord spent a lot of his time in prayer, and we're told sometimes right through the night, he was before his Father getting that wisdom, his mind, his understanding in which to minister. And the key is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will cause you to apply verses 5 and 6. And here it is, because you can't leave these two verses out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. And there it is. So let's just remind ourselves. He says, trust. What does that mean? Faith. Believe. Or believe in the Lord with all your heart. There's the commitment. There is taking it seriously. With all my heart, I embrace this Lord. That's what he wants to hear from us. Lord, with all my heart, this is what I want. And lean not on your own understanding. He's already saying this in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And he says, don't lean on your own understanding or your own wisdom or what you think is right. It isn't right until God opens our ears and eyes and heart to understand. So he says, lean not on your own understanding. We've still got areas where we don't understand. And it's not wrong to say to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand. Help me. Help me to understand. Open my eyes and ears and heart. And God will. And we know he will, because he wouldn't be talking to us today on this subject. So he says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. So he's saying in all of this, acknowledge him. In many ways, that acknowledgement means turn to him, talk to him. Be in dialogue with him. And this is the problem. Christians don't often do this. They go out in their own strength, thinking that's the mind of wisdom of God, and Lord, bless this, and so on, only to find you fall flat on your face and nothing came of it. And God didn't get the glory. And this is all the problem. It's the problem. This is why I always say it's good to wait on God. Prayer is about waiting on God. That's a lot of its nature. And so we acknowledge him. We acknowledge his word. We stand on his word, his promises. We are confessing them. We're believing them. We are before him, discussing about it. And here it is, the love of the Father. I will direct your paths. That's what he wants. That means I will take over and I will do it. And what I require of you is to step out of the way and let me be God and let me do my job. That's fundamentally what he's saying. Now, of course, I know these things take time. We're all learning. And I know by applying all of this, this is a different thing. But I do believe that, the wisdom of God and our understanding of that wisdom is absolutely essential for our walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, what comes to mind with regard to what we're talking about here today is King Solomon. And we know that he was a king who asked for wisdom to rule and to reign. And he asked the right thing before Almighty God. And turn with me, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 28, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. Of 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10. And here is where Solomon is instructed now to build the temple for God's dwelling place. So he needs wisdom, guidance, how to build this. And listen here, it says, as for you, my son Solomon, Know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understandings, all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And so it goes on. So here he's getting wisdom. He's saying, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. Know him. In other words, he's saying, have a relationship with him. And he says, serve him. That is essential. And he says, with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. Why? Because God searches all hearts and understanding and all intents of the thoughts. And that is what he does. He's all the while watching our motives, our intentions. Now, that to me speaks of wisdom. This is the wisdom and mind of God telling us. And of course, here he's preparing him in which he's going to build the temple for God. Now, it also speaks to me that we now, under the new covenant, are the temple of God, where he dwells in us. We are his temples. So how much more, now baptized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is he going to give us that wisdom as he's building through each of us? Did you know that God builds through each of us? So that when we come together like this, where he says, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He's building through us in which to inhabit, to dwell with us, to share with us, to be with us. The same as he's telling Solomon here, build this temple for my glory to enter it, which it did. So we see now that we are those living temples where he's building himself in and through us, so that as we come together, we may experience the anointing, the presence of God. God speaking to us, touching us and healing us and learning from us. This is why I always say these meetings are really our schooling. Did you know that actually these meetings are not for unbelievers? Now, of course, if an unbeliever were to come in, we don't reject them. Of course we don't. But these meetings are actually for the believers. This is for us, where we come together in the presence of Almighty God to learn from him, so that what he does with us in changing us, we then take it out into the world as witnesses. There's so much ignorance still today in Christendom with the true understanding and revelation of the body of Christ. The enemy has done such damage over the centuries with organizing it, making a denomination, with wrong ministry, headship over it. But that's why God now is restoring. He's bringing us back under his divine headship. And boy, what a difference. I know I was in that system years back, and it's bondage. But I still believe God has got a remnant there. He's got a remnant in the Roman Catholic Church, and they will have to come away. They will have to take that stand of faith, because time now is becoming so short. But you know, when you come away, the difference that you find, the release, the freedom, and you begin to experience the mighty touches of God, which you don't get in those other places. So again, this is where God is building now in these last days, and he's building through you and I. That's why each of us are so important in the body of Christ. Whatever your function, your ministry, it's absolutely vital, because you are part of his building, his raising up. And never forget that. But like all of these things, you need wisdom for a temple for God to dwell in. And that's what he wants us to know. He wants us to have this wisdom so that we can apply this. We can speak this. We can minister this in the love of Christ. Because the world doesn't want to hear its wisdom. We were all brought up on it. Did it save us? Did we find Jesus Christ in it? No, we didn't. It had to take the wisdom of God in which to affect us and get our attention. It's above that of the world. And that's why the scriptures show us that we are seated with him in heavenly places, above power, principality, dominion. We are not of the world. Even though we're in it, we're passing through, but we are not of it. We're not of its destiny, which is going to be judgment. God has saved us in which to escape from that. And so we see then this great work of deliverance that he's doing with us. But we are his temples. So therefore, we let him build. And in that building, both individually and corporately, it requires that wisdom. And we've already read to you the principle of how to get that wisdom is to trust him. We're not to lean on our own wisdom and understanding. We're to acknowledge him. We're to speak to him. We're to wait on him. We're to talk to him so that he guides and directs our path. Now, to me, that speaks of relationship. And that's what relationship does. But you see, it hinders God, his wisdom, when we don't apply it. And so our fleshly wisdom and understanding has got in the way. And we can do that also with one another. We can let that fleshly wisdom get in, which from the world's view and point may be right, but it's not God's wisdom. And that's why we pray one for another. If we see weaknesses or sin in one another, this is what we do. We get in prayer and intercession. Because maybe my brother or my sister needs to have God's wisdom in that, that at the moment they're not experiencing or seeing. This is not rocket science. And so this is how we can change. A lot of our changing in the body is also dependent on our prayers one for another. You know, we've seen some go over the years, and it's always sad when we see them go back. But we have to ask that question, because I do. Lord, was I not seeing something that I should have? Was I not applying your wisdom over that brother or that sister as I should? Please show me. I don't want to be at fault, because our prayers for each other is vital for our maturing and making it in. This is why I keep saying it's so important, our fellowship. It's not just left to the pastor. We are all responsible in the light that we're receiving and how we pray one for another. So as to just recap in all what I'm saying, as to how we deal with this, well, we ask the Lord. We say, Lord, Lord, is this my understanding? Or am I not quite seeing this right? Please, will you show me? And God will show you. He may do it in numerous ways as to how he's going to show you, but he will show you. You see, remember, all that God does and reveals to us is by revelation. It's not by human reasoning or human wisdom. It's divine. It's supernatural. It's revelation. And when we start to really understand that and experience that, that's where change comes. This is where miracles happen. And this is what God is restoring us back to now. This is how Jesus walked. Now, as we close with this, read what verse 8 says back in Proverbs 3. Verse 8. Well, we take it from verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So this wisdom from above is also healing to us. That's interesting, isn't it? Because so often we leave that out. So what is this telling us? What is it saying? This is why some are not in the health that they should be. And this is why healing can take time. Even though we're standing on the word of God, we've confessed our healing or whatever it is, but it's often a healing and it's taking time. And the reason it's taking time is because God is working your understanding to apply his wisdom. And when you get that, then the promise is health to your flesh, strength to your bones. In other words, he renews your youth like the eagles. That really struck me as I was preparing this, seeing this in the context of what we're talking about here. So, as I close with this understanding then, to be not wise in your own eyes, is absolutely essential. Because pride, which he's dealing with, will say, I am right, I know what I'm seeing, and so on, but you're not. You're only seeing it through the world, through the eyes of pride. I'm in control of this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding, but you're not. It is the humble, the meek. It's as we acknowledge him, because we don't know, then we start to begin to get the wisdom and mind and understanding of Almighty God. And not only do we get that, but we will know how to apply it by faith. And it says this will start to bring healing to your life, strength to you, and so on. This may well be some healings for us, what we've heard today. And my advice is do not miss out. Every word and jot and tittle of what God is saying today is vital for us to heed and to listen and to apply. And so I believe, brothers and sisters, I close with this. I think there's much to take before the Lord with regard to what we've heard today, all of us. And this to me is always a sign that our Heavenly Father, He loves us. But He wants us to have that wisdom and not to be wise in your own eyes or understanding. Praise God.
Jesus.